Welcome to the Wednesday night public affairs show here on KFM 88.1 Grand Junction, Colorado. My name is Rick Castellini.
And I'm Matt Kettlewell.
And we are the Tech Guys. And that song, Tu Sonrisa, means your smile. That's dedicated to our listeners because during our last, the last time we were on the air, we were doing this noon hour fun drive. And our listeners really came through and donated a lot of money and hard-earned cash to the cause here at KFM, and we appreciate that, and I know KFM appreciates it, and you'll be happy that you're now a member and supporting public radio or community radio. So thanks very much. So we are here for the next hour, Matt and I, to answer any of your questions about technology, and technology is a pretty broad. We'll answer things about telephones, viruses, spyware. What is a browser? What browser should I use? The holidays are coming up. I want to buy my child a tablet for Christmas, or I'm buying my grandmother a laptop. Should I get her a laptop? Should I give her a tablet? Which one should I get? Anything like that, give us a call. We will answer the questions, or at least try to get you pointed in the right direction. Our phone number is 241-8801, extension 1, 241-8801. 01 extension 1, or if you're calling from out of the area and you're listening on kfmradio.org, you can call us 970-241-8801 extension 1. Also, Matt and I like to get questions via Twitter. Matt is at Kettlewell.
Right. Yep.
And I am at Help Me Rick. And so if you do use Twitter, who is going to have an IPO tomorrow, going on the stock market.
Oh, right.
For the first
tomorrow.
Time. That's right. So if you're a Twitter user and you like to tweet, you can send Matt or myself a question, and we'll kind of monitor it during the show, and we'll answer those questions as well. But we do prefer the phone calls, 241-8801, extension 1. All right, Matt, let's do our particulars.
All right.
All right, so again, this is Rick and Matt. We are the Tech Guys answering your technology questions. And Matt has a great news story already off the bat. I got to say, I've been in a news blackout for at least 3 weeks. So I've been camping on the weekends, trying to get away a little bit, because during the week it's been nuts.
Camping?
So
you have time for that?
On the weekends. I on the weekends are my weekends. So I'm counting on the listeners calling us in tonight, calling us and asking your questions and giving us your feedback, 241-8801, extension 1. Otherwise, if we're leaving it up to Matt, as you all know, we could get into some deep tech talk that may not be so interesting. So please help us.
And I had two cups of coffee
before I came on.
I am ready to just feed you all with just uber geekness. So give us a call. Slow me down. In the meantime, I do have a really cool story.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So, you know, every software has some sort of a end user agreement, right? Okay. And
yes.
And so you're agreeing to a certain set of terms that says you'll do this, you won't do that. I am very saddened to let you know that if you use iTunes, you are agreeing.
Uh-oh.
And this is a first.
Don't scare anyone.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to, but I must let you know they are going to foil your plans, and you are not allowed to build a nuclear device with iTunes. I'm sorry.
Oh, or with any of their products?
Well, just with iTunes specifically.
Okay.
So within their end user license agreement, they say you may not build a nuclear weapon. So for those of you that may have been considering that, you need to stop your plans now. No more using iTunes to build a nuclear weapon.
Well, and since you brought that story up, there's a company called Bright Fort. Have you heard of Bright Fort?
No, I have not heard of that.
Let me see what their website is. I think it's probably just brightfort.com. Let me check. Yeah, brightfort.com. They've made, for probably 5 or 6 years, maybe a little longer, they've made a little download called a Utilizer. And so what it is, it's your end user license agreement analyzer. because these agreements are so long, none of us read them.
No, they're ridiculous.
And if you even attempt to read them, they're legalese. And if you're not a lawyer, you're not going to understand a lot of it. But this company called Brightfort, you can download this tool and then copy and paste in the EULA, the end user license agreement, and it'll analyze it for you and tell you whether or not, you know, what's in there. It says instant results. What does it tell me? Allows you to anonymously send license agreements. They scan to further improve the program, and it'll let you know if there's any kind of hidden behaviors in the software you're about to install that you might want to know about. So it's kind of interesting.
Interesting, yeah. So kind of, you know, if you're going to be doing something with it that you're forbidden from doing, then you're going to want to know that before you agree to it.
That's right.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool. Have you heard of that, the EULAizer?
No, I have not heard of that. So that's an interesting thing.
So Brightfort, I didn't know when you brought that up. Oh, they're the ones that make Spyware Blaster.
Oh.
Which is an okay program. I've not used that a lot, but it's definitely one I know that is not one of the bad guys. So that's just an interesting little side note since you brought that up. Let's see, I'm trying to figure out where these guys are from. They're from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay.
So they can't be all bad.
Sure.
All right, 241-8801, extension 1. 241-8801, extension 1. I got to find something else to do tonight since I can't do the bomb.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry I foiled your plans. So sorry.
So what else showed up on your news wires in the last couple weeks?
Well, a really cool thing kind of popped up. I mean, it's cool for me because I use LastPass, and anytime there's an update to LastPass, actually a new tab comes up and tells you about it.
Yeah.
And so what they did was they cleaned up their interface.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, for those of you that use LastPass,
explain what it is.
Yeah. Okay. So LastPass is it's a password vault generator. It's basically a safe place where you can store all of your passwords in one place with one password that protects them all, and it will autofill all of your forms. You know, so when you're needing to log into Facebook, it automatically puts your username and password, and so it's really a handy tool and very safe, very secure. Well, if you've ever used it in the past and you tried to search for, I mean, I don't know if you know you're anything like me, but I have hundreds, you know, maybe 1,000 different passwords that it keeps for me. And sometimes,
and because you don't use the same one for everything,
right,
you need a manager.
Oh, absolutely, because that's security rule number one is never ever use the same password on two different sites. If site A gets broken into and they know your username and password there, you do not want them to go to site B and try that same username and password and have it compromised as well. So never ever use the same username and password or password. Username can be the same. Password absolutely must be different.
Very good.
But they updated the interface, made it really clean. I believe that they did away with Flash is what they did. And so it's more HTML5, which basically for everybody just means it runs faster. It's very smooth, very clean. When you type in the search bar of the LastPass vault, your results just come up. Yeah, it automatically comes up real fast. There's none of that delay that they had in the past, and apparently there's some under the hood features that are in there as well. I haven't had a chance to go through all of it, but one of the cool things, you know, I use the Chrome browser and I use that extension, the LastPass extension for Chrome, and now when I'm on a site, I will actually highlight it and have a little number associated with it that's. It's not giving you a warning.
Yes.
It's now telling you there are two different username or fields that it can fill in. So if you have two different users that use it, you can select which one you want to autofill on or
and
whatever.
For a while they've had a built-in feature with that same little pop-up kind of deal where if you put in if it has a password that it detects is maybe not quite as strong as it could be. It gives you a little warning saying, hey, this is a sort of a weak password. Would you like to change it?
Right, yes.
So that's cool, too.
Yes, and that's really cool. And, you know, for somebody like me, I actually do a lot of stuff on my local machine that requires a username and password. It's not something I require security for, but it's nice to know that it's actually constantly scanning, and it says, hey, you're using a really weak password for what you're doing on your machine, which it doesn't matter for that, but it's nice to know that had that been a real-world site, it would let me know you're using a weak password. You don't want to do that because give it, you know, a couple of weeks and somebody is going to break into that site.
Yeah, so, very cool.
Yeah.
A kind of a real-world thing that happened to me is last weekend I drove to New Mexico to see my father, And on the way back on Sunday, we were traveling up north through Colorado Springs and the south end of Denver to get to C-470. And we were going to stop by one of the grocery stores real fast to grab some stuff, the Whole Foods in Colorado Springs. So anyway, so my wife was looking at her Google Maps, and she noticed that on the Google, because Google Maps, if you have it on your Android phone or your tablet or your iPhone, if you have it enabled, it'll do traffic for you, live traffic.
I love that.
And it's great. And now they even are showing accidents.
Really?
Yeah. So on the map, it had a little, I forgot what the symbol was because I was driving, but she said there was some kind of a symbol, and it actually directed us around the potential slowdown.
Oh, that is awesome.
So it was very cool.
That
so not only
awesome.
Do you see the traffic, but you can see live if there's any kind of disruption in the traffic and what it is. And that's very cool. So that's
nice.
Kind of a neat little feature.
Nice. And just to kind of highlight to those that maybe haven't used that, when you're in these traffic situations, it gives you three different colors, if I remember, a green, a yellow, and a red. Is that
yes,
right?
That's correct.
Yeah. So the red basically being it's so backed up, you know, avoid
Try
it.
Try to avoid it.
Right. And yellow means it's getting kind of congested, and green means, you know, go on through. So, you know, just like the traffic lights. And now it sounds like they've got an actual accident marker as well.
Yeah, that's very cool.
That
it
is
works
way
really
cool.
Well. And so I still use Google Maps on my iPhone and my iPad because the maps that Apple has put together just still aren't there yet. They're making improvements, but it's been out for over a year and still doesn't hold a candle to Google Maps. But Google Maps product is probably 10 years old.
Oh, yeah.
So they've got a big head start on that.
Huge.
And it's kind of a sad thing they did that. Speaking of Google, one thing I see on the news right now is Google is ending support for Internet Explorer 9. So they're starting as of...
Yes, for Google Apps.
Yep, Google
yes,
Apps.
Yes, for the business apps.
That's right. So anything 9 or less, you can no longer use the Internet Explorer browser.
Yeah.
Kind of interesting. Okay, got a telephone call, 241-8801, extension 1. Hello, welcome to... Whoop, that's the wrong one. All right. We always do this on the first call. Hello, welcome to the Tech Show with Matt and Rick. Hello.
Hello, how you doing?
Hey, we got you. We're doing great. How are you doing today?
Good. I have a question about Flip Player.
Flip Player. The Flip Camera or the Flip Player?
Flip Player. When I open an email, it has a video clip in it. It seems to download into the Flip Player thing, and then it comes up and plays.
Are you
but
on?
I have yet to figure out how to delete these video clips. Like there's a menu that shows all these different video clips, and I try to drag them into the trash, or I try to
Are you using...
find a way to delete or something like that, and I haven't been able to figure out how to do that yet.
Are you on an Apple computer?
I am.
Okay, so you're using Flip Player for Apple. And so this is kind of like a history is what it's showing you.
Correct.
Okay. And I have not, I'm going to see if I can figure out, and if anybody else is using Flip Player and knows the answer, give us a call right away. But I don't have Flip Player on my Mac, and I'm trying to think that if it's a history kind of a thing, have you looked in, does it have like a tools and an options or anything like that?
Yeah, there is an options things on it, and it says keep in dock, open at login, show in Finder.
Well, but no, that's just you right clicked on it itself, right? You right clicked on the icon,
that's,
yeah.
That's on the
here, I found this. If are you sitting in front of your computer right now?
I am.
Okay, go in your, pull up your Flip Player.
Okay.
And then click File from the menus at the top of the screen.
Okay.
And then click Open Recent.
Okay.
And then is there an option there that says Clear Menu at the bottom?
Yeah, there it is.
And then it says, then there's a thing that says Recent Media. If a clip is selected and it says to clear your recent media, go to File, Open Recent, and then
okay.
Clear Menu. What I'm going to do for you, We're going to do this so you can read this, because this will be kind of boring for other folks to listen to, and I think you might have to really read this to get a good handle on it. So do you have a pencil and paper handy?
I do.
Okay, so go to this website, tinyurl, tinyurl.com/79FJQKZ. So that's tinyurl.com/79, F as in Frank, J as in Jaguar, Q as in Queen, K as in Kilo, Z as in Zebra. And that'll get you to the little help site directly from the Flip Player folks that tells you how to do what you want to do.
Okay.
You got it?
Very good. Thank you very much.
Hey, you're welcome, and let us know if you're successful.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
241-8801, extension 1. 241-8801, extension 1. That's how we do it. We love your questions. I had seen Flip Player before.
I've never even heard of it.
I've never used it, but I knew it was a Mac-only system. And immediately, we figured it was a history kind of a thing. And most programs give you the opportunity to delete history. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. Good job on searching that one out and finding the answer there.
Well, thanks to Joe here at KFM for getting us on Google Chrome.
Nice.
Got us up and running.
Thank you, Joe.
All right. 241-8801, extension 1, with any of your questions. Or you can tweet Matt at Kettlewell, at KETTWELL. Or you can tweet me at HelpMeRick if you have any questions. Twitter tomorrow again is going to have their initial public offering of stock. The idea is it's going to open around $25. Do you have an over-under on where it'll go tomorrow?
Well, you know, everything I've heard about this IPO is there's no interest.
Yeah.
It's just kind of a very flat. It's kind of a dud.
Yeah.
And I kind of understand why, because Twitter still doesn't have what anybody considers a real business model yet. It's kind of an odd thing. But Twitter's also forced legally to go public with it because they've reached so many people that have shares. I don't remember exactly how that works, but they've been bumping up against this ceiling for a while now. And so finally, I guess they're just having to go public with it. But there's really no interest. Until they really have a solid...
But if you look at Facebook, Facebook had a lot more interest, but it fell really flat for almost 2 years.
Yeah.
It's finally climbing back to about where it finished on its first day.
Yeah.
But it's been a long haul to get there. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see if Twitter does the same thing or not.
Right, right.
Who knows?
I don't know.
Hey, I did see another news item that I think we touched on briefly during the fundraiser program. But that Apple's had their another press conference a few weeks ago, and a couple of big items that they talked about during the press release is that their newest operating system, 10.9, which is known as Mavericks, they released as a free upgrade.
Right.
That is huge, huge. A Microsoft upgrade is typically between $79 if you get it right away, but usually it's $99 and up, depending on what version. And there's one of the big problems with Windows these days is they have two or three versions of their operating system. And so you never know which one to get. The professional costs $199. The home premium is usually $99. So what do I get different for $100? Do I need to spend the extra? Again, confusion across the board plus extra money. I think what Apple is doing, because they're now offering an operating system that it continues to be, whether you started with Apple in 2002 or you started today, the experience is roughly the same. Whereas if you went to sleep in 2002, woke up here in 2013, and you got on an Apple computer, you'd be able to function because it's, again, roughly the same. They've added a lot of new things. They've continued to try to speed it up and optimize it. But again, they've not done a wholesale overall change. But the biggest change they've done is the App Store. The App Store was just a one thing that they added that has increased their revenues just by astronomical amounts. And so now this sell of the software is kind of moot, because if somebody has the product. They've paid for the product. They can get upgrades from Apple for free. And the trade-off is that by Apple giving away the software, they're hoping people are going to use it more, therefore use the App Store, and it's kind of a nice little self-perpetuating income system there. But the other thing that they released for free at the same time is with any new device, if you buy a new iPhone, a new Apple computer, or a new iPad, they are for the first time giving away their little suite of productivity tools called iWorks. And iWorks includes their Pages word processing program, which is a very capable word processing and even a decent layout program. And their spreadsheet is called Numbers, and it's a very good little spreadsheet. And they have the industry standard, by almost all accounts, presentation program called Keynote. Keynote is a great, great presentation program, which is the competition to PowerPoint. And previously, on a mobile device, those things were $10 each. Now they're free if you get a new device. On the Apple computers, I believe the iWorks was either $79 or $99 for all three products. But again, they now are giving those away for free. They also retooled them, which really made a lot of folks upset, because if they've been using iWorks for a long time, they basically did the same thing with iWorks that they did with their operating system, which is not change it a lot. They've done upgrades over the years, about every 2 years. They don't do that one very often. But with this new rollout of their iWork 2013, they just basically made some pretty big wholesale changes to make the desktop work similar as the mobile devices. And for people who really use these products, they thought that they went a little too far in simplifying. In addition, they pulled out some very important features. But there was a news story just today. So for all that backstory here, is that the news story today is that Apple is going to bring back many, if not all, the features that people have had an outcry for.
Oh, nice.
Saying, hey, why did you do this? Why did you do that? So that's cool. So Apple, again, responding to feedback from their customers. They made a little too big of wholesale changes. The community reacted. Apple says, all right, we're going to build that back in.
Nice.
So pretty nifty. I really, the more I follow and study Apple, I've got to respect their business model, and I really respect that they are in tune with their community. They know that the Apple community is what drives their sales, and if they get them too far off the rails, people are not going to buy their products. So it's really a cool thing to see a company that big respond to their customers and their community. All right, 241-8801 extension 1. We got a voicemail. Joe just passed us. Thanks, Joe. Gary says, should I upgrade my iPad 2 to the newest iPad operating system, which is iOS 7? And Gary, yes, I would.
Absolutely.
The 2 is strong enough to take it. I had a customer today earlier that had an iPhone 3G, and the update was coming up, and I said, I wouldn't do that on the 3G.
Not the 3G.
Just not enough hardware. But the iPad 2, mm-hmm. I upgraded mine. It's working fine. Do look at, you might want to go into a store and see what the iOS 7 looks like. Some people, that's a little departure that Apple did. It's not a big change functionally, but there are big changes visually.
Right.
And so for some people, that really throws them off. And before you do it, go check it out. But as far as it running, it works great. As far as the function of iOS 7, I think there's some very worthy upgrades they've put in it, and I think it's worthwhile to give it a little time to learn it.
You know, speaking of upgrades on the iOS 7, mm-hmm. I found a really cool one that I can't use yet.
Okay.
Because I
AirDrop?
I use AirDrop all the time.
Okay,
my wife and I AirDrop stuff to each other all the time.
Oh, cool.
AirDrop is an awesome, awesome thing.
It's very neat.
Yes. But this is with the timers.
Okay.
So when you set an alarm,
yeah,
you can actually set the alarm sound to be a piece of music
right.
that you have on your phone.
Right.
And I didn't know that, because that's new for iOS 7, right?
I don't – for the alarms, no. You could do that in iOS 6.
Oh.
Yeah.
I
like Tucson Risa that we did at the beginning, oftentimes I'll make that an alarm because it's very upbeat and it'll get me out of bed.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Huh.
So, no, that's been around at least for the alarms. Now, the timers, I'm not sure.
Right.
Because
right.
timers, I just usually have a beep beep or something.
Yeah,
on
no,
that
I
one.
Think this was just for the alarms. I guess somewhere I was reading that was new for iOS 7. So
I think I used it. I think I used it before.
Yeah.
The one thing you still can't do, I wish, is use your own music to create a ringtone.
Mm.
And because that's one thing, ringtones aren't as huge as they used to be. But ringtones, still, a lot of people like to have a custom piece of music.
Right.
Yeah, check out the iOS 7. I think that was available, Matt, but I'm not 100%.
No, you are probably right. You usually are.
Oh, not always. All right, 241-8801. We've got another call coming in. Hello, welcome to the Tech Guy Show with Matt and Rick. How can we help you?
Hi there. I have a question about using Gmail.
All right.
Frequently, I get a warning saying you've been signed out of your account because this may have happened because another user signed in from the same browser.
Hmm.
To continue using this account, you will need to sign in again.
Okay.
This is done to protect your account and to ensure the privacy of your information.
And that's all true. Now, what version, what are you using? Windows, Apple, what are you using?
Mac.
You're using Mac. What version of Mac?
The latest one.
So you're on 10.9.
Yeah.
And what browser are you using?
Safari.
So you're using the newest Safari.
How often does this happen to you?
Oh, it happens at least 4 or 5 times a week. It's too frequent to ignore.
Now, you sound, just from the few seconds we've been talking with you, that you are savvy enough to know whether or not you have multiple Safari windows open. Are you aware of that, or are you not sure?
No, just it might be when, but I haven't really thought that would be an obstacle.
And it might. So what I would do is, the next time it happens, the first thing I would suggest you do is, on your menu at the top of the screen, click Window and see how many different Safari windows you actually have open.
Oh.
Because you may indeed be accidentally opening up those alternate windows.
Oh,
and
I see.
So, you know, you may have minimized one or closed it or thought you closed it and then just hit Safari again and it opened a new window.
Oh, I see.
So that'd be the first thing I would check. The other thing is that I can't check for you right now, but in Safari's settings or preferences, you might want to also check whether or not there's some kind of a security setting where you have set up that's, I'm looking in my older version of Safari right now. I'm trying to think if there's anything in there that would contribute to that being an issue, but I don't see anything off the top of my head. I got a feeling that I would, again, the first thing I would do is verify that there indeed is not a second window open.
Yeah.
But
so I go to menu and...
Yeah, at the very top of the screen, as you get logged out, click Window from the Safari menu.
Okay.
And under Window, it'll show you how many windows you have open.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I'll give that a shot. And also, I was wondering, in Safari, you know, it often, when you go back to another site, it won't give the, in the address field,
mm-hmm.
It doesn't really show, an address. It shows more like a generic name.
Ah, now that I think is new in the new Safari.
Oh.
And they call that simplified addresses or something like that.
Okay.
And again, you'll find that tick, that little on-off switch in the Safari menu. Go to Safari and Preferences.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like you, I'd rather see the entire address, but sometimes they're... that is a new feature in many of the browsers, is they're giving people the option of, instead of displaying a long, complex address, they're just going to put something more simple in the address bar.
Well, I wonder if that would apply to when, because sometimes I'll, like, go back to a site and I'll click on, type a address in the field, and nothing will happen. Because it's acting like it's in a different mode, like it's not an address mode, but showing more of the description of the web page.
Well, and again, with all browsers, what they've done is the address bar is no longer just an address bar.
Uh-huh.
No matter if you're using Internet Explorer on Windows or Google Chrome or now Firefox as well, and of course Safari, they've created what they're calling a super bar. And the super bar, or they all call them something different, is you can type in a search term up there instead of a website address. And it'll automatically search the web. So make sure when you're typing, when I type in an address bar, I make sure I put in like wellsfargo.com and hit enter. Because if you just hit, if you type in wellsfargo.com, you may see that the web browser is trying to search for that.
And my
inclination is that's what you're seeing.
That clarifies it. So you hit the, like, wellsfargo.com and then...
hit enter on your keyboard.
Oh.
Yep, and then that'll take you directly there without going to a search first and then having to click on it.
Yeah. Okay, well, great. Well, I sure appreciate it.
Hey, well, we appreciate it as well. Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. A quick thing about the address bar. This is a keyboard shortcut I think we talked about last time too, Matt, that I never knew about. You might know how to get to the address bar from your keyboard when you're in your browser. Command L.
Go L.
Or Control L.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I didn't know that one.
I didn't know that one. And it's beautiful because if you're on your keyboard, you can hit Control L. It automatically highlights the browser or the address bar and type in your new address.
Nice.
So I never knew that one. I just stumbled on that. Control L. Or on a Mac, Command L.
Yeah. Command line options are
I love them.
They're the bomb.
They really are.
Love them. Love them. not to be confused with a nuclear weapon. We would not do that.
That Apple now
prohibits. Right. Maybe with
Where'd
Chrome.
You find that story?
I don't know. Slashdot, I think.
It wasn't The Onion, I hope.
No, okay. Not The Onion. This was a real, genuine story. I think the story itself landed on Engadget or something. But, you know, you were talking about Mavericks being a free OS update.
Mm-hmm.
And so Mashable has a 6 reasons why Mavericks is free.
Okay.
But it's kind of a funny.
Oh.
And it wasn't on the serious side of things, which, you know, believe it or not, us tech guys, we can be kind of funny at the same time sometimes.
Even if only to ourselves.
Yes, exactly. And so there's a list of like 7 of these things, and the last one is just the funniest.
Okay.
It says, so reason number 6 on why Apple made Mavericks free. So number 6 is, it's the perfect retirement present for Steve Ballmer.
That's a good one. I like that.
and so if you go to Mashable and you look for the 6 theories on why Apple Mavericks is free, there's actually 5 or 6 other items on this list, and they're all equally funny.
All right, 241-8801 extension 1. 241-8801 extension 1. If you have any question about something technology related, call us up. We made a reference earlier in the show about Microsoft ending Windows XP, support for Windows XP, starting April 8th of next year.
5 months away, is that?
Yeah, we got 5 months and counting.
Ooh.
I'm still formulating my own idea of what I'm going to have when people ask me what kind of advice I'm going to give about what you should do about a Windows XP machine. First off, if your XP machine is older than 7 years old, which was right around the cutoff of Windows XP and Vista, it's going to be too old, no matter what Microsoft says. It's too old to run Windows 8.
Oh yeah.
So don't even think about that.
Nope.
As far as them decreasing or stopping support for Windows XP updates, they just announced today that they are also going to cut off support for Microsoft Security Essentials, which is one of the antivirus products that we recommend.
Oh boy.
But only for XP. It'll still be okay for Vista and newer.
Boy, and this could be a problem, just knowing that today Microsoft released a known set of vulnerabilities against XP, Vista, and
because today's their patch day, right? Patch Wednesday.
Right. And so if one of these was to come out for XP in the future,
they will.
You're not going to get one of these updates, and so you're going to become vulnerable. And it's very, very easy for hackers out there to identify the XP machines.
Right.
In fact, they're probably gathering data right this very moment on what the XP machines are. So once the next vulnerability hits, after Microsoft says they're not going to support it anymore.
Which is April 8th.
Right. So at that point, your machine is going to be targeted.
Now, we did report that Google Chrome is going to extend support for Windows XP through 2015.
Oh.
Remember we talked about that last time? Now, that's not, Google Chrome is not an antivirus, not an anti-spyware.
No.
I do feel that it's probably one of the safer browsers out there. And in fact, this past week, they announced that they are going to actively include in Google Chrome a prevention program to prevent the execution of spyware from within the browser.
Nice.
So they're going to build that in. So it's going to help.
Right.
But it's not going to help against the vulnerabilities you just talked about.
If you're going to use XP, at least use Chrome because it's about the only step of protection you're going to have. But just to be clear, it's still a limited set of protection.
But we'll have to see if Avast and AVG and some of the other, what's the other one called? I can't think of it right.
McAfee.
Avira. Well, Avira, I'm looking at the free ones.
Oh, right, right.
The free antiviruses, but then the big guys too, McAfee. Yeah,
I mean,
are they going to support it?
I don't think any of them can. I mean, how long can they really support XP?
Well, I think without the Windows updates, I think you're right. I think that they can't be the only guard at the door.
No.
Because if they're not having the operating system guarding their door, it's going to be hard for the McAfees, the Nortons, the AVGs of the world to say, we'll protect your system. So, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah. I know my personal preference. When you have an older machine like that you're wanting to be secure, it's Linux all the way.
Well, and that's, I'm going to do a series of articles on if you have an older machine, XP, and you are willing to, you're going to have to jump ship one way or the other. But if you don't want to spend the money on a new machine, then Linux, I think, is the way to go.
Absolutely.
Because you can download it for free.
Yep.
Pretty easy to install.
Yep.
And it'll do everything that you want to do. Photos, word processing, spreadsheets, of course, your internet and email.
Especially if you're just using browser-based stuff, it is more than ideal. We've put senior citizens on Linux. Get them with a browser. It works perfectly.
It does
everything they need. There is no confusion.
And it runs on an old machine quick.
Yes.
With no antivirus needed.
Right.
You won't get any kind of spyware. You won't get those kinds of situations you do with Windows.
Right.
So we'll be talking more about that as April rolls around. And if you're confused about what we're talking about and you've never heard that Windows or Microsoft's going to give up on Windows XP starting April 8th, call us up, 241-8801, extension 1. We'll explain what's going on. Or if I'm also curious, as a little poll, here's a live poll, let us know if you're a Windows XP user, are you going to plan on going and continuing to use it after April 8th, or are you going to start planning for some kind of a change?
Yeah.
Let us know. Call us or tweet us, 241-8801, extension 1. Tell us what you're doing with XP. Because XP finally, I think just earlier this year, finally went below 50% of Windows users. It's been more than the majority of Windows users up until this year. And that's why that Microsoft could not cut the wheels off of it until it started dropping below in terms of usage.
That is horrendous.
It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Okay, 241-8801, extension 1. Hello, welcome to the Tech Guy Show with Matt and Rick. How can we help you?
Yes, I have a iPad 2 and a Windows 7 PC.
Okay.
Trying to sync the calendars, I find that the iPad will pick up what I've put on the PC, but the reverse is not true. It will not pick up anything from the iPad.
Okay, tell me what calendar are you using on the PC?
Google.
Oh, so you're using your Google Calendar. Okay, great, because that's my favorite way to sync. So you've got the Google Calendar on your browser, of course, and you're putting in an item. It is or it is not going to the iPad?
It is.
It is, great. But when you're putting on the iPad, it's not necessarily going to your Google Calendar. Okay. So probably what's going on, or do you have your iPad in front of you by chance?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Tap on your settings icon.
Okay.
And then from settings, go into mail, contacts, and calendars.
All right.
And then under Mail, Contacts, and Calendars, you're going to have iCloud listed as the first account.
Correct.
And click on, tap on that. And is the calendar item on?
Yes.
Okay, so there's your problem, because what you're doing is you actually have both the iCloud calendar enabled, and if you go back one step, just go up to the top and click Accounts or Mail and Contact, and you go back and you'll see your Gmail there, your Google account, and it's also got the calendar on. But if you scroll down further in this screen that you're on now, there's going to be a spot under Calendars that lets you choose your default calendar.
Okay.
And right now it's going to probably say the iCloud calendar, or just it might just say calendar instead of the Google calendar. You see that a little further down on that page?
It's under Account on iCloud?
No, go back one space where it has a list of your accounts. And
back
then
one space.
Yeah, you know, at the top of the screen, click where it says, yeah, click Mail, Contacts, and Calendars. And then scroll down through this list. Following us?
Okay, I've got iCloud, Hotmail, Gmail,
yep,
Calendar.
Yep, keep going down. Yeah, keep going down in there, and you'll see Calendars is just a section down below. Because you'll have all those.
Down below?
Just keep scrolling down until you see the calendar section. There'll be a little section that says Calendars.
Okay.
You see it?
Mm-hmm.
And you see it says Default?
Yes.
And what does it have listed as Default?
Calendar.
Yep. So see, that is the iCloud calendar. So if you tap in there, you can set it to your Google calendar. So,
all right.
So what's happening is when you're making a new calendar item, it's using just the iCloud calendar, thinking that's all you want to use on the iPhone. And so your new item is listed for just that. And that's why it's not synchronizing to your Google calendar. So you want to do one of two things. For sure you want to change that to your Google calendar as your default so that they do synchronize. But the other thing you're going to want to do is go in to your calendar that's on your phone and future items that you've already created to get them to the Google calendar. You can just edit the item in your calendar, edit the items, and change it from calendar to Google calendar so that it's on the correct calendar. Once you have everything complete, you're going to want to go back into where I took you now, which is Settings, Mail, Contacts, and Calendars, and then shut off the iCloud calendar.
Oh, okay.
That makes sense?
Sure, sure does.
Okay.
I'll give it a shot. Thanks.
All right, good luck.
All right.
Take care. 241-8801, extension 1. We can't get to two phones at the same time. We heard another call coming in there, so please call us back, and we will get you on the air as quickly as possible. I was misunderstanding my statistics. It looks like that Microsoft was actually waiting until Windows XP users actually dropped under 20%.
Mm.
So even as late as this summer, there were still 20% of Windows users using Windows XP.
Holy cow.
It finally dropped below 15% in August. And that's when they actually started doing it.
Nice.
So it is on its downslide. All right, 241-8801, extension 1. Hello, welcome to the Tech Guys Show with Matt and Rick. How can we help you?
Well, it looks like we're going to get some computers for Christmas.
Okay.
New ones. You had a poll going on, and that's what we're going to do.
Cool.
Two laptops with XP, and,
you're going to get them replaced.
Yeah, we're not going to strip down this, the software to put on the new stuff. We're just going to go ahead and
bite the bullet.
Yep.
Very good. Do you have any idea what's your budget, if you don't mind us asking? What are you going to look at?
It's just simple usage. We don't do any gaming or anything. So, if we can get something $500 to $800.
Oh, you'll be able to do that.
Right.
Yep. Well, good. Very good. Well, good luck with them. You'll enjoy the little extra speedy experience. XP has become a little sluggish over the years, so that part of it will be nice. But you got a little learning curve ahead of you, but it's just a curve. You will get over it.
We use them at work. We just have to use them at home.
There you go. Hey, well, thanks for the call.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
We had a little reverberation there. I didn't want to tell her to turn the radio down, but 241-8801, extension 1 is the phone number, 241-8801, extension 1.
You know, I'll take this moment to say, you know, for anybody that is going to do like her and upgrade your machines, you're going to have these older machines that to you, they may no longer be viable as anything. But believe me, there are certain schools. I know Caprock has a small lab. They're trying to collect computers.
Oh, they are? And,
yeah, they are.
Oh, good.
And so there are some other
I guess because they're a private, another private.
Well, yeah, they're a charter school. And I believe one of the teachers is starting to put together a small little lab.
Oh, good.
Is what I understood. And
good.
But I believe that some of the other schools are doing the same. So look around and make sure that, you know, if you've got an older machine, that there may be some students somewhere that can utilize these and learn from them. And, you know, goodness knows that we need as many technologists out there as we can, and it starts young. So definitely look around and see where you can donate these to where they can be reused and repurposed to help people learn. And
because so often the District 51, unless you can find a teacher that's doing those kinds of things, District 51 just doesn't want them because they've now got contracts with companies and they're and they're actually managing them as a big department now,
right,
which is good. That's great for
absolutely
them.
Yeah, I don't think that they're trying to use these as so much as trying to become the main part of, you know, the school campus, but it's more as the learning experience for the kids.
Cool.
Is what this is, I believe.
That's good.
And I think you and I had kind of talked about this, I don't know, 6 months ago or something, where you thought it would be a good idea, and it sounds like this other teacher had too. And I've So
good.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to hear that, because you can get it recycled. In fact, you're supposed to recycle them these days, because if you put them in the trash and they catch you, you can get fined.
In fact, we had the e-recycle people in here talking about just that, you know, not too long ago as well. So
make sure you're doing that. All right. 241-8801 extension 1. We have time for a couple more questions for sure. And we have one on the line. Hello. Welcome to the Tech Guy Show with Rick and Matt. How can we help you?
Yes, I got a Mac question I'd like to ask.
Okay, go for it. A lot of Mac questions here. Right. Go for it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they recently came out with the new Mavericks update to the operating system, 10.9.
Right.
Just wondering if you guys have heard anything about them. I haven't downloaded it yet, but just curious.
I'm using it on my little MacBook Air. Like we talked about, there's not a lot of Surface changes, and that's one of the cool things about the way Apple does their updates. Is on the Surface, it's very similar to every other version of the Mac OS, but they've updated notifications. Safari's been refreshed. They've given you some more options in accessibility. There's all kinds of different things. In fact, they'll list on their website hundreds of what they're calling improvements or enhancements. But if you have, I would recommend like any of the last two or three of their operating systems. I think they run best on 4 gigs of RAM or more. So if you have at least that much RAM on your Mac, I think you'll be great. 2 gigs, it'll run, but it'll just run a little more sluggishly than your previous operating system.
Okay.
But overall, it's a pretty smooth update and has gone well overall.
All right. I'm going to do it tonight then.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks for the call.
Awesome. Thank you.
241-8801, extension 1. We do have about 6 or so minutes left on the show. So if you have a question about anything tech related, sounds like a lot of KFM listeners are Mac users.
Yeah.
It's very
cool.
And a couple of iPad questions tonight.
Right. And I do have an XP Linux question here.
Okay.
From Donna. She asks, so does Linux.
Hello, Donna.
Yes. Hello, Donna. So does Linux use the resources Windows does? Will it run better? In other words, I'm running XP on Dell.
Oh, it'll run light years better.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Linux, over the years, has developed a driver for just about every device out there, you know, motherboard, your printers, whatever. So it's really an easy thing.
Donna, if you have at least a gig of RAM, and even a half a gig of RAM is plenty for most Linux installations, but it runs so much more smooth than Windows, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely.
That's great.
No question.
All right, 241-8801, extension 1. Oh, we had a call, and then it went off. I missed it. 241-8801, extension 1. But the other neat thing is for Donna and for anyone out there, if you learn how to do make a bootable CD, and there's all kinds of tutorials on how to do that. You can download all the different, any different flavor of Linux you like, put it on a CD, shut your computer off, turn it back on with that CD in there, and boot from it. And you can actually run the entire operating system from the CD.
Right, without installing it. So you'll still have your existing operating system there and files that won't. But it gives you an opportunity to play with the operating system just running in memory.
And even running from the CD is pretty darn quick.
Oh, yeah.
But it gives you an idea of what it's going to be like.
Yep.
Hello, welcome to the Tech Guy Show with Matt and Rick. How can we help you?
Yeah, I've got a question. I have a dear friend who does not like to change her password.
Oh, gosh.
And, you know, she won't listen to me when I tell her how important it is. And she has a lot of different websites, online banking, et cetera, et cetera. And she used the same password. And it's one of those simple, easy ones, you know, without divulging too much information. It's it's either her name, address, phone number, or birthday, something like that. And she always just says, I'm too busy. I don't have time to change this. Do you have a website or some sort of information that I might be able to, guide her towards to let her know what kind of how vulnerable she is?
Well, one of the easiest ones that I think is just great to do this with is go to howsecureismypassword.net, all that together. Howsecureismypassword.net. It's a very visual website telling you when you type in your password, the approximate amount of time it would take a hacker to hack your password.
Wow, beautiful.
And it's a very nice visual thing. You can just put it up on her browser, have her type in her password, and then it'll tell her how quickly a hacker could actually hack that password. And hopefully that'll be enough to start the conversation to say, okay, let's take it off, take it to the next step and change it. Now, one thing I've done with the similar type of folks is you can help her modify an existing password that is something she's comfortable with, but make it so it's a little bit longer, a little more complex. So let's say, for example, it's her birth date. So if she's just doing the numerals of her birth date, what she could do instead is use the year, just use the whole month. Maybe her birthday is February the 9th. You could actually type in February the 9th with a capital F and then the numeral 9. That's a long password, but still it's easy to remember and much more complex than just putting in 02/09/91 or whatever it is.
Exactly. And, you know, just the other day, I think somebody else told her about how vulnerable she may be using the system she is. And she actually said, you know, I might have to do something about this when I'm not so busy.
There you go. Good. Well, so you've got like a little bit of an in there. You got the crack in the armor. Go for the rest of the way.
Yeah, great. Thanks a lot, guys.
Hey, appreciate the call. Have a good day.
And of course, I would be amiss if we didn't also remind people to use LastPass.com
because
it will generate passwords so that you don't even have to remember them because at that point you don't care, and it will help you to where every time you create a new system or a new login and password, you can generate a unique password and it will automatically save it for you and it'll help you automatically log in the next time you're there. So it's one additional tool that we should
and it
mention
too. It's actually worth learning how to use the LastPass app because it does work so darn well.
And we should also mention it's free. It's free.
Right.
It's a free service. There is a paid service for your phone if you want to take it mobile. And it is worth the $5.
Yeah, it is.
It totally.
It is. All right. Well, we are out of time for this show. Some super questions tonight. Again, we thank you very much. It always flows much better, and we have a lot of questions, so we appreciate that. And stay tuned here on KAFM, Grand Junction, Colorado, 88.1 FM for lots of great music throughout the night. And we'll be back again in a couple of weeks. Have a great weekend.